Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Today we get to listen to the Bob Hope Show. It's not the Pepsodent Show. Well, actually it is, but all the references to Pepsodent, the commercials, have been edited out because this is a rebroadcast on the Armed Forces Radio Service for the fighting men and women overseas. It is episode number 265, and it originally aired on May 15th, 1945. Here now is Bob Hope, with his wonderful cast of regulars from the Birmingham General Hospital in the San Fernando Valley, California.
Go! Jerry Colonna, Vera Vague, and Skinny Ennis and his orchestra. And now here he is, the star of the show, Bob Hope.
Thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob broadcasting from the Birmingham General Hospital in San Fernando Valley, Hope. Well, here we are broadcasting from the Birmingham Hospital. Yes, sir, I'm going to lay sterilized eggs tonight. Yes, sir. We're playing to 800 ambulatory patients. Ambulatory, that's an Army medical term, meaning nurses pass through this ward at your own risk. You know, when I walked into this hospital today, I was a little scared. The last time I was in the hospital, some guy held me upside down by my feet and spanked me. This hospital is surrounded by a lot of orange groves, and it's really wonderful. They don't have to use hot water bottles here. They just let the patients sleep with their feet out the window, and the smudge pots take it from there. And this hospital is really tremendous. It has 8 miles of corridors, and it's really hard to find your way around. I saw a guy with a beard walking through one of them, and I said, "What are you doing, playing Santa Claus?" He said, "No, I grew this thing while I was looking for the washroom." Boy, it's really big. A new detachment arrived here the other day, and they took a wrong turn in the corridors, and they went all the way back to Australia without ever leaving the building. This hospital has the most up-to-date streamlined equipment, but they aren't allowed to have dates with patients. And there are a lot of heroes here from the Southwest Pacific. I saw one soldier, and he was wearing so many medals, he had a zoot chest with a drag sag. And a bunch of these guys just came back from the South Pacific. I won't say they were over there long, but one guy saw a bowling ball for the first time and broke three hammers trying to get milk out of it. I tell you that the VACs are right on the job here. They give each one of these boys here a 5-minute phone call home, and I think that's fine work, don't you? No. That's good. One guy called his old top sergeant in New York, and the operator said, "The Bronx." The guy said, "You're not kidding, lady, but let me give it to him." Soldier there shot down 150 Japanese planes with nothing but his rifle, and Hedy Lamarr started to give him a kiss for each plane. It would have been the most heavenly evening any man ever spent, but just then the MPs asked to see my papers. But I enjoyed the little incident. I enjoy a good argument with the MPs. And besides, why go through life with your head shaped the same way all the time? Wonderful things at the canteen is the feeling of brotherly love between the sailors and the soldiers. If a soldier is dancing with Hedy Lamarr and a sailor taps him on the shoulder and says, "May I cut in?" the soldier smiles sweetly and very graciously says,
"What's the matter? You're crazy or something?"
How do you feel tonight, Professor?
Chilly.
You're chilly?
Yes, laundry doesn't get back till Thursday.
What day do your brains get back?
Friday. Need more stars.
You know, Professor, I was also going to give you a hatchet for those knots in your head, but I gave it to my kid brother instead.
You gave him a hatchet? Why did you give him a hatchet?
He's a rug cutter. Woo-hoo! Rug cutter, hatchet. Get it? Hatchet.
Why should I hatchet? You laid it.
Here comes our man, Skinny Anna, doing There Goes That Song Again. Do it, Skinny.
There goes that song again. We used to call it our seven name. We fell in love when we heard it play. Over and over and over and over again. I still remember when I sang the words and it made you mine. I still a kiss and it came back. Over and over and over again. We drifted apart. You walked off with my heart. It's funny how one misses got me reminiscing. I'd soon forget that day. I told myself when you said so long, I was wrong. There goes that song again. Forget that, yeah. I told myself when you said so long, I was wrong. When you said so long, there goes that song again.
Hi. That was Skinny Ennis, he of the Purple Lungs, singing There Goes That Song Again. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to meet one of the girls who are doing such a grand job here and all around the world, an Army nurse stationed here at the Birmingham Hospital, Lieutenant Julia Flanagan. Boy, they're putting out the sedatives in a new wrapper this year, aren't they?
Flanagan reporting, sir.
Now, wait a minute. Don't say sir to me. I'm Bob Hope.
My mistake. Lieutenant Flanagan reporting, ma'am.
These dimples fool everybody. Say, you know, it's really a pleasure to be here with you at this hospital, Lieutenant. I hear you have a great record for saving lives.
Yes, Bob. We never give up anybody.
Have you met Skinny Anna?
Hiya, Lieutenant Flanagan.
Of course, they've got to have life in them to start with.
Say, where do you hail from, Julian?
Fairbury, Illinois.
Fairbury, well. You must have the whole town here. Fairbury, how big is that? Why, I remember I played vaudeville there. Do you happen to see my act?
No, Mr. Hope, I wanted to, but that day my kindergarten teacher kept me out of school.
Julia, don't let this white my hair fool you. I was in a hurry this morning and forgot to comb the fog out. But you know, I really can't get very angry with you, or you nurses have done such wonderful things for the boys, Julia. See, that's the life an angel of mercy, spreading your protecting wings over the sick and making them well again. See, sometimes I wish I'd been born a girl.
And sometimes...
What?
And sometimes I wish I'd been born a man.
Yes, it's nice to be one or the other. You've had quite a career, haven't you?
I developed an interesting hobby while I was in the Southwest Pacific, Bob. I collected butterflies.
You're kidding. Butterflies?
Hmm? Yes, you know what butterflies are.
Yeah, that's a worm that won its wings. Well, look, Lieutenant Flanagan, why don't we get together later and talk about the birds and the bees, too, huh?
Sorry, Bob, but the only men I have time for now are the wounded men.
What time shall I meet you? Thank you, Lieutenant Julia Flanagan. Well, very good. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our next guest in the Birmingham Hospital is a boy who landed in France 4 days after D-Day, was wounded at St. Lo, and is now a patient here, Private Bernard W. Miller.
Thank you, Bob. Well, let's not waste time. Where's Francis?
Hello, soldier.
Hello, Miss Lanford.
Now, you can just call me Francis.
Okay, Francis, and you can just call me, you can call me...
Yes?
Anytime.
Guy's about ready to get out of here, huh?
Well, where do you hail from, Bernard?
Claflin, Kansas.
Claflin? Oh, yeah, I've been there many times.
Where were you wounded, Private Miller?
St. Lo, France.
See these stitches are benign?
Where'd you get those?
Cigarette counter, Van Nuys.
So you were wounded at St. Lo?
Yes, Francis, by shrapnel. And my life was saved by an American who gave blood to the Red Cross. If it hadn't been for plasma, I'd have been a goner.
You just think, maybe it was my blood.
No, Bob, it was red.
Bernard, you're in the infantry, aren't you?
Gee, Francis, I never saw anybody so pretty as you.
Say, how long were you overseas?
And what beautiful hair you have.
Well, where were you wounded?
What are you doing tonight?
You know, the Germans wouldn't get much out of him, would they?
Gee, you're cute, Francis. Maybe after the show we could slip out together and have dinner, huh?
Oh, I'd love to, Private. Oh, but of course, you'll always have to take Bob along, too. You know?
Yeah, that's right, and I know a swell restaurant.
Well, baited booby trap, wasn't it?
Bye, Bernard. Good luck to you. Here comes Francis Langford, making believe.
Francis Langford.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Hope has heard about the doctor shortage and has decided to do something about it. He has decided to become a doctor and join the staff of Birmingham Hospital.
I'll get in anyway.
After taking the full course of two lessons, the school sends a man to give Bob his final examination.
Mr. Hope, this examination is very strict, as we naturally award diplomas only to the keenest, most intelligent students. Now, do you have a thorough knowledge of diathermy?
No.
Do you have any understanding of diagnostic analysis?
Well, no.
Metabolism?
No.
Adhesions?
No.
Therapy?
No.
Do you have 20 bucks?
Yeah.
Congratulations, old man. You've made the grade.
Hope's first and only patient expressed his gratitude by saying... And now we find Dr. Hope taking up his duties at Birmingham Hospital.
Gee, I wonder which of these cute nurses they'll assign me. I bet she's gorgeous with a figure like Betty Grable and a face like Hedy Lamarr.
Hey, Mr. Hope!
Well, it was a beautiful dream while it lasted.
My goodness, Mr. Hope, are you a doctor now?
Yes, I'm a doctor. Don't I look spick and span?
I don't know about the spick, Mr. Hope, but you sure got enough span.
So you're a nurse, Miss Vague, huh?
Oh, yes. I just love working in a hospital, Dr. Hope. You know, this morning I kissed all the young doctors in the place.
Intern?
Yes. I just love being a nurse. Goodness, if I try hard, I may work myself up to another Nightingale.
I don't know, Miss Vague. That's a pretty long climb for an old crow.
Oh, how can you say such things, Doctor? Do you know they had mistletoe in one of the wards yesterday? You should have been there when I stood under it.
What did you get, Miss Vague?
Fallen arches. You've been doing, Doctor?
Well, I've had a busy morning. Nelson Eddy just called for an appointment. He has an inflamed throat.
What makes you think he has an inflamed throat?
Well, the other day he sang shortening bread and it came out toasted. But you seem very happy here, Miss Vague.
Oh, well, I am. Being a nurse is a wonderful experience, Mr. Hope. A girl can learn so much.
Really?
Just imagine being able to hold a man's hand and have a little dial to tell you how fast his blood pressure is going up. Romantic.
They keep
trying to flirt with me.
Yes, well, some of them have been out of the jungle a long time.
Bless your heart, Mr. Hope. Really, it's amazing how your mouth can be so ambulatory when your brain still hasn't come out from under the anesthetic. Mr. Hope, serving all these wonderful boys.
Well, Miss Vague, I must warn you, while you're here, I'm sure that you won't try to make any of your patients fall in love with you.
Oh, of course not. I wouldn't think of such a thing. Oh, goodness, we're dreaming tonight, aren't we?
Hello?
Hello?
Professor, whenever the phone rings, it's always you.
Well?
It's monotonous.
Oh, hello, monotonous. Put Hope on the wire.
Colonna, you're driving the ambulance, aren't you? Where are you now?
I'm driving down Hollywood Boulevard to pick up some patients.
But, Colonna, we don't need any patients.
Well, in that case, I'll get off the sidewalk.
Well, Colonna, have you made any calls today?
Well, I just found a poor old lady who's been flat on her back for 5 years. But I fixed her up.
What'd you do?
Rolled her over on her stomach.
Colonna, come over here right away.
I'll be there in 5 seconds, Hope.
That's silly, Colonna. You can't get here in 5 seconds.
Sure I can, Hope. I'll take a shortcut through the middle of this orange grove. Watch. Well, care for some marmalade?
Hiya, folks. Well, look what just came in.
Well, don't stand there, Mr. Hope. Let's put it under the microscope and find out what it is.
Well, that's Skinny Ennis, sir, it was. Say, just lay right down there anywhere.
Listen, Doc, I don't need an examination. I haven't spent a sick day in my life.
You must have spent some terrible nights.
Say, Miss Vegg, yes. I'm single, you know. You should see more of me.
Well, come back when there's more of you.
Hello?
Dr. Hope, come
yes.
quick. I swallowed.
Now, wait, I don't hear you. You swallowed what? Put your mouth closer to the telephone.
I can't. That's what I swallowed.
You swallowed your telephone? How'd you do that?
I was talking to my girl, and when I kissed her goodbye, I guess I overdid it.
There it goes again. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Hope.
Oh, what's the matter? What are you laughing about?
Oh, I can't help it. The bell's tickling my epiglottis.
Well, look, I'm not supposed to do this, but if I come out, will you promise to keep it a secret?
Doctor, after you treat me, I'll never breathe a word.
Well, okay. I'll be right out. Kelowna.
Yes, Mark?
Come on. Look, we got to make a fast emergency call. Do you have a siren in the car?
Yes, but she has to be home by 5:30.
Here it is. Here's the house where the patient lives, Kelowna. Stop the ambulance.
Think I ought to back up a little, Hope?
What for?
I'm parked on his chest.
Well, it looks like I'll have to operate. Kelowna, you assist me.
Okay.
Forceps.
Sponge.
Sears.
Roebuck. Okay, Hope. Let's start. First, I'll hand you the precept.
Kelowna, that's always been forceps. How come now it's precept?
Withholding tax.
That's probably my girl calling me.
All right. Hand me those forceps, Hope. All right, now you pry his jaws apart.
Okay. All right, Kelowna. I've got his mouth open. See if you can get down in there.
Well, this is fine. I can see the telephone. Not now. Call back later. We're busy.
Kelowna, what are you doing? Wait, are you getting the telephone out?
Who cares about the telephone, Hope? I'm getting the nickels out.
And thanks for the memory of that war's campaign who felt the battle's pain. But you can feel as your wounds heal, it hasn't been in vain. And we thank you so much. Our thanks to Colonel Alvin C. Miller, Lieutenant Colonel John O'Donnell, Major W. R. McBrien, and to all of you men here in Birmingham General Hospital, and also to you indispensable nurses. And folks, I wish you could see the great work being done here. It's the last word in government hospitals and medical care for the fighting men. Of course, you don't become a patient in any hospital unless you have to. But there's another good reason a lot of these men are here instead of back there in the jungle where they got hit. And that reason is the skill and genius of the American doctor. Believe me, he's a gentleman in a white coat. In an age where nobody believes in miracles, he's up near the front working miracles 24 hours a day. And under conditions that even the old country doctor never ran into. I've seen him in a tent with a box for an operating table, a pot-bellied stove for a sterilizing machine, with a tropical storm trying to drown him out and blow him away, performing an operation that ought to be done at Mayo Brothers. There's been no bigger battle in this war than the medic's battle against the casualty list. And his losses have been mighty few. Time and time again, when death slips away for a touchdown run, the medic nails him like an all-American end. Yes, sir, it must be a comforting thing when a soldier goes into battle to be able to say, God is on my side, and thank God the American doctor is too. Good night.
Now, in the time remaining, let's listen to Skinny Ennis and the band.
I was walking down the street. I met somebody who was mighty sweet, mighty fantasy. And asked her, would she like to have a talk, make some talk. All the fellas standing on the wall, wishing they were me. Mama, let me dress up tonight. I've got a secret, gonna fess up tonight, gonna dance by the light of the moon.
go to dance with the dolly with a hole in the stocking, while I need keep a knocking and a toes keep a rocking. Dance with the dolly with a hole in the stocking, dance by the light of the moon. Mama, mama, let's dress up tonight. I've got a secret, gonna fess up tonight. Gonna dance by the light of the moon. Gonna dance with the dolly with a hole in the stocking, while I need keep a knocking and a toes keep a rocking. Dance with the dolly with a hole in the stocking. Dance by the light of the moon. Dance by the light of the moon. Gonna dance by the light of the moon. Would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams combing a jar, and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears, kicks up at anything he hears. His brain is brawny and his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak. And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule. Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a pig? A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. Shoes are a terrible disgrace. He's got no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy, extremely rude. But if you don't care a feather for his face, you may grow up to be a pig. Would you rather be a fish? A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. And to fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught. But then if that sort of life is what you want, you may grow up to be a fish. And all the monkeys are in the zoo. Every day you meet quite a few. So you see, it's all what's in you. You could be better than you are. Could be swinging on a star. How many hearts did be broken with those great big beautiful lies? Those great big beautiful lies that tell such beautiful lies. How many times did you kiss somebody like you kissed me just then? I don't believe you mean it. Oh, but baby, kiss me again. How many hearts have you stranded on the dreamy road to romance? Baby, I'll take a chance. I need some loving. I just can't resist you, even though I'm wild. To how many hearts you have broken with those great big beautiful eyes. Resist you, even though I'm wild. To how many hearts you have broken?
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Big, beautiful eyes.
According to Richard Osborne on militarymuseum.org, the hospital was first authorized by the War Department General Order dated 24 August 1943. It was built in Van Nuys in late 1943 and early 1944 to serve as both a general hospital and a debarkation hospital. It was originally named the Van Nuys General Hospital, but it was soon renamed in honor of Brigadier General Henry Patrick Birmingham of the Medical Corps, U.S. Army, who was born in 1854 and died in 1932. It received its first patient on the 25th of February, 1944. Its stucco buildings had 1,777 beds, of which 800 were devoted to debarkation activities. The hospital specialized in general medicine, central nervous system syphilis, rheumatic fever, and psychiatry. It was also the location of a small prisoner of war compound. Due to the location being so close to Hollywood, many radio and movie stars visited patients at the hospital. Jack Benny even broadcasted his annual Christmas party from the hospital in 1944, and of course, we listen today to Bob Hope broadcasting from the hospital. The official Army history of World War II makes reference to a study at Birmingham General Hospital of an antibiotic ointment on patients with chronically infected compound fractures by Major Joseph Weinberg. This was one of the first topical uses of penicillin. Well, the former hospital is now Birmingham High School and Junior High School and the West Valley Special Education Center. So there you go. Some interesting trivia on what was the Birmingham General Hospital, built for wounded service people from World War II. Please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Wednesday for another episode of The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope, and check in on Friday for the next installment of The Life of Riley. Until we meet again, in the words of Jackie Mason, money is not the most important thing in the world. Love is. Fortunately, I love money.